grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
The first reading is from Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 103 responsively. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all.
Forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life.
Satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
O Lord,
to Moses, and your works to the children of Israel.
Lord, you are.
The second reading is from Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. Even if even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape, then they refused the one who warned them on earth. How much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he had laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus said to her, "You are set free." Isn't this a wonderful gospel text for a baptism day? You are set free. Isn't that what baptism is all about? So thank you, Francesca. Where'd she go? Thank you, Francesca, for being here today and giving us a perfect living visual aid. Scripture in action. Today's text from Luke 13. Last week I was in New Orleans. Yes, soggy. The flooding was up in Baton Rouge. Not so much in New Orleans, except the streets, as the rains came very hard, very fast, the streets flooded all the time. So when I walked from the hotel to the convention center, even with an umbrella, I got soaked, but especially you had to walk into the street, water up to above the ankles to cross the street. It was very scary to have. The worst thing, though, that the lightning and the thunder knocked out the television signal, so the Olympics were done for the night twice. So, but while I went there for the church-wide assembly and the grace gathering. Every 3 years, voting members from across the country, we have 65 synods. So those 65 synods elect voting members and their bishop to go to do the work of the church, to hear reports and to vote on constitutional changes and initiatives that we will take in the next coming years. One of the highlights for me, sitting with 2,000 Lutherans, the singing is amazing, because everyone knows the song. So everyone is joining in, and we sounded pretty good. But one of the highlights for me was Bishop Eaton's address to the assembly, where she put out her dream for the future, her visions and expectations of the church for the coming years. One of the points she made was an invitation to the individuals and to the, I can't remember how many Lutherans there are in the United States, but there's a little less than 10,000 congregations. So she put out this invitation that all of those 10,000 congregations would take a new and focused look at Luther's small catechism and do a study of that, of the catechism. When Luther wrote the catechism, he didn't use this healing story that we heard from Luke's gospel in his explanation of the sacrament of baptism. But I think he meant to use it, and he just forgot it for a second when he wrote it down. But we're going to take a look at the catechism this morning. We might just be the first congregation that picked up on Bishop Eaton's invitation to look at the catechism along with Scripture in the light of what this might mean in the 21st century. You might have read the Catechism a while ago, a long time ago. And if you didn't go through a Lutheran confirmation class, you may never have read the Catechism. So this might be the first time that you're looking at the Small Catechism. How this came about, Luther was preaching a series of sermons on what he considered to be the basics of the faith. The Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Sacrament of Baptism, and the Sacrament of the Altar. And you heard those, and maybe Peter and Kim could hear that more. In the questions that I asked them at the beginning of the baptism, I asked those questions. Will you teach your daughter these basics of the faith? And that's what the Small Catechism is. So Luther preached this series of sermons on the basics of the faith. And then a couple years later, he made a tour of the German churches that were the reforming churches, and just to see what they were doing. And what he found, he was not happy with. What he found is that some of the preachers had veered off to the left or veered off to the right and were doing things and explaining scripture and giving sermons and participating in practices that Luther had not approved. So he decided that he needed to write out some explanations of these basics of the faith. And not only give them to the preachers, because obviously they're not doing their job, he also wanted to make them accessible and put them in the hands of parents especially, but put them in the hands of families and folks in their homes. And thanks to Gutenberg and the invention of the printing press a little bit before this, there was easy access to these little pamphlets that soon became the most go-to text for what does it mean to live a Christian life. How do we understand the sacraments? So let's take a look at the baptism section of the Small Catechism. It's in the back of the hymnal. So take your red book, the hymnal that's right in front of you, and turn to the very back to page 1164. And there are four questions in the baptism section. The page numbers are at the bottom, and you want 1164. So the first question, what is baptism? Did you find that? Then what gifts or benefits does baptism grant? And how can water do such great things? And it's the fourth question that I want to look at this morning. What then is the significance of such a baptism with water? And I'd like us to read, because this is a catechism, so we're going to read the answer together. What is the significance of such a baptism with water? It's and through repentance. And on the other hand, that daily a new person is to come forth and rise up to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. A new person, come forth, rise up. That's baptism. That's the scripture of the gospel story that we just heard. For 18 years, this woman had suffered. She was barely able to walk, so hunched over, crippled. And here on the Sabbath day, the day of rest, when neither work nor travel were permitted, she made her way to the synagogue. Maybe this was her daily practice. Maybe she was there because she had heard that Jesus was there. We don't know, but Jesus noticed her. He called her to come over to him, and he healed her right then, right there. Woman, you are set free. Free from what has been holding you down. Free from what has been crippling you, free from everything that has prevented you from being all that God dreams for you. Here's some good news. God has a dream for this world and for every person in it. That's what Jesus is all about. That's what Jesus came to let us know, that God has a dream. And God's dream is about you and about your freedom. At the beginning of Luke's gospel, the gospel that we just heard was from the 13th chapter. At the very beginning of Luke's gospel, we hear about Jesus being in a different synagogue, this one in his hometown, and he had been asked to do the reading. And it was from the book of Isaiah, the same book that Jane read from and we heard this morning. The passage that Jesus read was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And that's what Jesus is all about. That's what Jesus is still all about, in and through the church, in and through you. That's how the dream of God becomes a reality. When we put our hands to God's work in preaching the good news to the poor, in proclaiming release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, that's how God's dream becomes a reality. When we put our hands to God's work of freeing those who are bound and proclaiming that this is God's time, this is God's year of favor. God has a dream, and a life that is lived in harmony with God is a life lived in making that dream come true. When the waters of baptism were splashed on you and on me, we got pulled into that dream of God for the world, for creation, and for each one of us. God's dream for us does not include being so bound to the law or anything else that we are unable to stand up and look Jesus in the eye and look our brothers and sisters in the eye. But too often, we are bound. What is it that you need to be set free from? I know that's bad grammar. Too often we are bound. How do you need to be freed? What keeps you bent over? What weighs you down? What habits or addictions have such a grasp on you that you are not free to live the way that you really want to live, the way that God dreams for you? What fears or anxieties keep your heart from being at peace, the peace that Jesus came to bring to the world? What resentments or feelings of revenge have you so bound that you are completely bent over with burdens? What worries or burdens of life keep you staring at the ground, bent over, turned in, rather than looking up, being lifted up, allowing ourselves to be lifted up by that promise of God? Here's the good news, brothers and sisters. You are God's dream. You have been set free. You don't have to be bound. You are set free to live as a child of God. In baptism, you have been set free and invited to stand up straight and to praise God. You have been released from all bondage, except that bondage to Jesus Christ in freedom and in love. Through Jesus, we receive forgiveness. for those times that we step back into the shackles of our own choosing. When we choose selfishness over the freedom of being God's hands for others. Through Jesus, we receive a freedom to be at service to our brothers and sisters in any kind of need. We are free to give freely. Jesus says to us, as he said to that bent over woman, you are set free from your ailment. And immediately, she stood up straight and began praising God. Give thanks for your baptism and do the same. Praise God with your life, with your hands in God's work. You are free to be generous. You are free to love all of God's people because you are God's dream. Amen.